My name is Willis Choate. I'm 76 years old. I'm a publisher of a weekly newspaper. It's spelled W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K. If you're wordsmith, you got that one, okay? My family's owned the newspaper since 1895. We're in a small country town. I'm a country guy. We're in a small country town of 2,500 in a county of 9,000, and we run a newspaper there. That's what I do. I'm in the newspaper business. Have been forever. Can't remember when I wasn't. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about... I'm a wordsmith, so I gave that thing that title, Determining Attainable Spiritual Goals. The other name for this is Goals, Priorities, and Use of Time. And I just wordsmithed a different title. I was mentored by a guy named Gene War. Gene War was quite a legend here, part of one of the founders of this conference. And I had contact with him, and he mentored me from 125 miles as best you can. I have in my possession a list of his illustrations and some of his thoughts. He was a well-known speaker. And I have a book that he compiled, rough, just of his photo copies of his notes. And this week was reading it. And I want to read you what Gene said about goals, priorities, and use of time. Now remember, he was a World War II guy. He was behind the enemy lines as a first lieutenant, probably about 20, 21 years old. And they actually opened some of the concentration camp. His unit did, where the Germans were holding prisoners in Germany. So with that in mind, he writes in one of the things that I read this week, "Before any battle, there must be a briefing. Take time to think through. Have a clear-cut goal for life. If you don't, then secondary issues crowd in and dominate our lives. We get faked out of position. Satan is the master of deception." And then he quotes the scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:11, "In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." Satan does not want you to get your life in order. He does not want you to have a goal in life, a spiritual goal in life. And he sure doesn't want you to order your priorities or use your time properly. And I think that's true. Gene then concluded what I was reading by saying, "The only worthy overall goal is just to be totally available to Jesus Christ." Okay? Very good. Most everything he had was good. Let me give you the outline real quick, because as I said, you do not have a handout. We're going to talk about goals, and goals have to do with the what in life. Goals have to do with the what in life. Priority has to do with the when in life. Yeah, goals are the what. Priorities are the when. Use of time or time is the how. Okay? What, when, how. Goals, priorities, and use of time. Now, I am going to do something radically different today. Exactly a week ago, almost to the minute, I was handed a perfect example of a guy who got his goals, priorities, use of time right. He called our house at 7 o'clock on last Saturday morning and said, "I need to come talk to you and Noreen." Now, let me tell you something. When I get a call at 7 o'clock and somebody says they need to come talk to me and my wife, it is usually not a pretty scene. First place, she and I are not in very good shape. And secondly, whoever calls you at 7 o'clock in the morning has got a problem. Right, guys? Well, he said, "I have been blessed beyond my imagination, and I want to come share it with you." In the ensuing hour and a half, I have known him for over 30 years, he sat and talked like he had never talked before, because something really good had happened to him. And in the course of him talking, he set out for me, not knowing what he was doing, his goal in life, his priority in life, and how he used his time. Perfect example. God laid that one out for me. I couldn't miss it. And I am going to weave, his name is Tommy, I'm going to weave Tommy's story through this presentation. Now, we'll start off with some scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Anybody quote that one? It has to do with not without aim, okay? I'm going to cut this kind of short because I want to allow plenty of time for you guys to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man knows his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The mind of a man knows his way, but God directs his steps. Let me give you a translation of that. Man rolls the dice and God makes the spots come up. Right? Is that not the way it is? That's not in the necessarily the vernacular or the way you'd want to hear it, but that's kind of what it is. Man makes things happen and God makes it happen. He thinks he knows what he's doing. Okay. The other thing, and I'm going to go, I've said it five times, I need to quit saying I'm going through it quick. Goals are divided into two general areas. What we are to be is number one. Two general areas. What we are to be. Example, growing in Christ likeness. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to his image, to the image of his Son. Going over it the second time. Two general areas of goals. What we are to be. And then the scripture that I used was Romans 8:29. The second area of goals is what we are going to do, or what you are going to do. What you're going to be and what you are going to do. I went over the idea briefly that in the idea of what you're going to be, we should all be in the process of conforming ourselves to the life example of Jesus Christ. And what was he about? He was about people. The second one is what you're going to do refers basically to serving. And serving means, it has been said twice during this conference in different ways. If you will look at Jesus' life, Jesus always met a man or a woman at their point of need. He knew where to put his finger on the problem. You guys, your goal in life, and well, what you should be trying to do, is to meet your friends at their point of need and help them there. An example, offering aid. Ron talked about yesterday in a workshop, actually reaching into his pocket and giving somebody money who needed it worse than he did. Now that goes back to the realization, I don't want to get off on this, that goes back to the realization that you have nothing, everything is God's, and whatever you have, he has entrusted to you as a manager. And as a manager of somebody's wealth, you invest it in the way the manager wants it invested. That's money, that's time, that's life. We get pumped up in pride if you accumulate a little money. I don't have much experience with that. But if you accumulate a little money, you get puffed up in pride because of what I have done. And that isn't it. So what we're talking about is helping people, meeting them at their point of need. It could be helping them memorize Scripture. There's been a lot of emphasis put on that. Good, well taken, proper emphasis put on that. But the biggest deal is that I have found, and I'm not good at this, my wife is excellent at it. The big deal is when you're trying to help somebody, be a good listener. Now, I'm going to tell you why you don't want your friend to have a problem. When your friend has a problem, you cut him off. You say, no, no, you don't have that kind of problem. You're wrong. That's not a problem. I'll tell you why. If your friend has a problem, you've got a problem and you don't want any more. Right? So if your friend has a problem, Then all of a sudden, if you're a real friend, you now have a problem. And you don't want any more. Now, I'll tell you what the best way to overcome, not the best way. One way that we Christians overcome that is, all the time he's talking, this is a Gene Ward illustration, we're loading our spiritual machine gun with verses. And the minute they take a breath, we spray them with verses. Not ever asking them or listening to them to hear the rest of the problem. We spray them with verses thinking that's going to take care of it. Gets us off the hook. As I said a while ago, my wife is an excellent listener. I shouldn't tell this, but I think I will. Twice in the last 6 months, we have had somebody come to us, a woman come to us, two different women, who were at the point that they wanted to end their life. Now, guys, for an untrained person in counseling, that is an awesome responsibility. And in the process of dealing with this, and in process, we just listened. Just listened. And as this played out, they both are alive today, okay? One of them had laid out her dress that she wanted to be buried in on the bed at home and had picked the place and the time for her to take her life. And as a last resort, reached out. Now, that's important stuff, okay? And like I said, they both are alive today. Enough said. Let's talk about ministry and talk about the church just a second. It has to do with what you do. God gives the gifts to men and gifted men to the body of Christ to do the ministry. God gives gifts to men and gifted men to the body of Christ to do the ministry. Now, you guys, I know you don't, particularly you younger guys, not going to like this. But you have a God-given gift that is unique to you. Okay? And the body of Christ will never function the way it is intended if you don't use your gift to contribute to the betterment, to the advancement of the cause of Christ. You are a gifted child of God. The trick is talking yourself into having enough courage to go figure out what your gift is. Because as long as you don't know what it is, you feel like you've got no responsibility to use it. Been there, done that for 5 years. I'll tell you how smart I am. I walked out of a church one time and told God that I didn't like what was going on there. And not to ever ask me to teach a Sunday school class again, or ever ask me to join another church, or ever ask me to ever speak in public for him. How did that work out? I thought he and I had a deal. He apparently didn't agree, okay? So I've done that. Our job as laymen is to do the ministry. The job of our pastor is to train us to do the ministry. That's it. That's multiplication. The job of the pastor, or the guy that's doing Bible study with you, his responsibility is to train you to do the ministry. The big deal, guys, you don't have to be a preacher or a professional to be in the ministry. That's not the requirement. You do not have to be a pro to be in the ministry. I pray for and I'm thankful for those guys that are professionals in the ministry. In that sense, but man, I love those guys that are not professionals that have ministered my life. Because I wasn't always, well, anyway, I don't want to go into my past. Make some of you guys feel better, though, if I did, okay? Okay. One other thought. Most of you that are in this room have been exposed to the navigators in one way or another. Right? Who fed you spiritually? Your navigator guy. He probably wasn't a navigator, but he's navigator trained. Y'all are the next generation of this. I look over here and I'm thrilled, okay? See you young guys. There's hope. And the scary thing is, y'all are it. Okay. Let's talk about Tommy's example. I told you I was going to weave this through. So this is Tommy. The guy came to my house. I'm not looking at my clock, but it was going on at this exactly last week, Saturday morning, same time we're talking this, doing this Bible. Tommy is a guy of no special advantage. Raised in a country town north of Durant, Oklahoma. Backwoodsy kind of a place. Wasn't an exceptional student. Pretty good basketball player. But not an exceptional student. His father deserted the family when Tommy was a baby. Was raised poor without a father. Never had a father. At the age of 19, a guy shared Christ with him, and Tommy came to Christ. He accepted Christ. Uniquely, very unique, he knew within 7 days that God was calling him to the ministry. Isn't that interesting? By the way, they put him on his feet preaching at a little old country church very early on. He said it was a disaster and it was terrible, and I'll bet it was, okay? But he did it. That's Tommy's story. That's the first part of Tommy's story. The other thing was that he realized early on, not that quick, but early on, that he wanted to write Bible studies to help people. So his goal was, and he knew it, to be a pastor and to write. So that was his goal. Now let's talk about priority. Priority deals with the when. They have to do with how, have to do with order and importance. Let me rephrase it. Priority has to do with order and importance. Too often in life, we do the urgent and not the important. There is a story, and I can't relate it very clearly, about President Truman, who was president at the end of World War II. He had one pile on his desk was the important, and one pile on his desk was the urgent. Every day at the end of the day, he had a wastebasket, and he raked all of the urgent over into the wastebasket. He only did the important, because he knew in the position of President of the United States, he had to do what was most important and let somebody else take care of the urgency. I think it's a good story. I think it's true. But that's what it has to do with. Now, what I'm going to do with you guys is I don't have enough cards, but I'm going to show you a card and let you pass them around of what we do. Now, in my life, and this is my own way of doing things, every morning I start out with a do list. I write part of it the night before, but I start out with a do list, what I'm going to do the next day. And then I prioritize what I am going to do. Now, it may be I've got a grandson that's in college, and he always needs money. Can you relate to that? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe send Connor some money. Deposit some money in Connor's account. It may be I need to check on some cows. Or I may need a story. I may need to prompt my staff to do a story. It may mean I need to cover my overdraft at the bank. I've done that too. Y'all look at me like you've never had a shortage of money. Here's a sample of the card. And what I do is I write on the card my priorities, and then I rank them, and y'all are welcome to take one as far as they'll go. And I'm sorry about this. I did not believe God would bring this many people here. Okay? And frankly, you guys make me nervous. I use a card. Now, my new best friend that I just met last night is about to tell you, and he's going to get a big surprise. He's getting ready to tell you how he uses his phone to do his priority list. You're my new best friend. Stand up and let's do it. Aren't I subtle? Because I realized doing this thing that my card deal was so far out of phase with you guys that it didn't even, I mean, you couldn't understand what a card was. Because you guys use phones, don't you? Yeah. I'll tell you about my cell phone while he's getting his act together. My cell phone is so old it's got a rotary dial. Okay? And I can use it. I really would like to have my old black bag phone back. The one I sat behind the seat of the tractor when I was plowing, that I could talk anywhere within 25 miles. You know? Wonderful. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. You know, guys, this is common sense, I think, for most of these people here. But an old school guy like that, he's not using the phone. So, you know, there you go. How many of you guys own Galaxies here? How many own iPhones? Mutual, right? Equal. I think greater than, before you even pick up a phone and set anything up, I mean, it's sad that we actually have to depend on technology for our time, right? And most of us are busy. As you guys know, busy stands for being under Satan's yoke. So I think that...
Let me just stop just a second.
Yeah.
I'm from southern Oklahoma, okay? And I talk slow. Brooklyn. Okay, now, I am not going to be your interpreter.
Okay.
So you slow this thing down, okay? You slow this thing down, because you may not realize it, but their mind is dull.
No.
And the longer you talk to them, the better they can understand you. Okay, yeah. Get after it. Microphone, we're going to record you.
Oh, okay.
Make me look good.
So like I was saying, guys, you know, prioritizing your life and really realizing, before you even get to the core of, you know, why you need to use a cell phone for your time. It's each one of us are busy, and I, like I said before, busy being under Satan's yoke. That's what I like to tell people. And you know, they said last night, they said, if you're too busy to get in the Word, you're probably too busy, right? So just to remind yourselves that you got to find time in your schedule to make it work, whether it's quiet time, time with your wife, time with mentors, discipleship. And fortunately, technology has taken over our brains. How many of us are in the elevator or, you know, at a doctor's office or somewhere where in between we're just kind of checking our Facebook and just, in essence, who could say they spend more than an hour of time on their phone? Social media, news, texting. Yeah, most of us. Technology has taken over the way we live. And unfortunately, guys like this, you know, Willis... They didn't have technology back then. They were forced to go old school way. And personally, I respect that. But there is a way you could look at phones and say, hey, this is a benefit in itself. Setting reminders, calendar events. It comes to the point in my life where being 30 years old, I got a lot. I'm discipling guys. I'm being discipled. I'm working. I'm running doctor's offices in and out, surgical. And so it's easy for me to say, hey, I don't have the time to be intimate with my Father. But I know that with my phone, it's always on me. I don't go anywhere without this. And to be able to set my time within my schedule is always a benefit. So most of you guys have a calendar. Real simple. I'm not going to give you guys instruction on how to do it, but Google is a really good help. I hate to say Google these days is the best thing. But going to a calendar and setting yourself the time to actually get that time alone with the Father is going to be huge, which is going to line up with his whole spiritual goals part. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. You did really well, and I didn't do you very well, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't introduce you very well, and I put you on the spot early, and you know what? You rose to the top. Thank you.
Maybe towards the end I could share a few things on spiritual goals.
We might work on that. Okay. This is a work in process. We talked about the gifts. We talked about the priority. Talked about my list. Now, the tough part about priority, the key to setting goals and applying them to priority and to make reasonable choices, tips, real quick. When you're setting goals and doing priority, really, be decisive, plan ahead, persevere, acknowledge your dependence on God. Be adaptable, don't be easily swayed. And review your goals often. The tough part is setting priority. And that is putting things in order that God wants you to put them in. Now I'm going to give you five areas of priority real quick. I want you to write them down this way. Your relationship with God. Just put relationship with God or just put God. Recreation is 2. Ministry is 3. Job is 4. And family is 5. We're getting practice in priority. Now look at that list and tell me if you think they are in the right order. By the way, there can be some real discussion and maybe argument about part of this. Not the first one. Okay. Number one is what? Relationship with God. What is number 2 in your mind? Now, that doesn't mean that you're right or wrong.
Family.
Family. Who is A under? Now, family, we're going. Let's say wife, okay? For some of you guys, what's A under wife? Children, okay? What is three? This is where it begins to get a little sticky when we get to three.
Ministry.
Yes.
Technically, proper application of ministry in the workplace could be combined.
Yeah, and you just messed up my illustration because you threw two of them together. No, he knows me. He's all right with me. I don't pick on anybody that doesn't have a friendly face. Let's go back to it. What did you guys say? Job and ministry, right? There is a real good argument to say that it should be job. For a layman, if he doesn't have a job, if he doesn't work, and if he doesn't prove to be a good example in the workplace, may not have much ministry. What is the next one? Then it's got to be what? Ministry, right? Now, I'm not saying this is right for you. I'm just saying this is one way to look at it. Okay, what is the bottom priority?
Recreation.
All right, now we're going to get nasty about this. In your life, where does recreation come? I don't want this golden rule application of this. In your life, where does recreation come? Four. Wonderful. Before you knew Jesus Christ, where did recreation come?
Number one.
How far are you from there? Be careful. I have friends who have lost ministries because playing golf, fishing, hunting became their number one priority in life. That's where you lose it, okay? Let's go back to Tommy. Tommy's example. Remember I told you that 19, he came to Christ, made the decision he was going to be a pastor, and he wanted to develop his life. Tommy finished college, went to seminary, came out, pastored some smaller churches, then eventually came to a church which is not large, but in the 200 range. To prepare himself, he put priority on his education and developing his pulpit skills. He gave the right priority to the right things to reach his goal. Now, see the pattern? The next part of this is use of time, which has to do with the how. I'm going to machine gun this pretty well. Time is one of the most valuable things we have. Now, there's some truths about time. You don't have to write these down, but you can kind of remember them. Everybody has the same amount. You have just enough to do God's will. Other people are very generous with your time. Right? Everybody knows how you're supposed to be using your time. Now, I'm going to take you out of a lie deal. I'm going to fix it where you don't lie anymore to people. Don't you ever tell anybody that you don't have time to do something. That's a bald-faced lie. The problem is, what they ask you to do does not have high enough priority for you to do it. Time is not the problem. It is priority. And everybody wants to set your priorities. How was that? Did that make you feel better? We do basically in life what has the highest priority with us at the minute. Now, one other subtlety. Every decision that you make in life is determined in some way or another on how you will profit from it. It is a real profit or perceived profit. You came to this workshop hoping to learn something. You want to profit from it. You took time out of your weekend to come here. Why? You gave it priority for what reason? Because you wanted to gain something from it. You wanted to profit from it. That's a central theme. Let's go back to Tommy. Tommy tries, and he has to fight for it, to give 4 hours a day 4 days a week to writing. Now, you remember what I said. He came to Christ. He had a goal. His goal was to preach and to write. He went to college and he gave that priority. He gives his writing priority. He's a pastor. He gives his writing priority. Then he allocates his time to meet his priority and his goal. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened. And I'm going to give you a summary of what went on with him. Last Saturday morning, he had one of those aha moments. He suddenly realized that he was in the final stages of the process of reaching his life goal. Now, 30 years ago, he committed to God to write a Bible study on every book of the Bible. He's a country preacher, okay, in a country town. But he has given his life to that. I think he is about 65 years old. He has preached, been the pastor of a good church for 32 years. That's unheard of in a Baptist church. He has written 54 Bible studies, either 13-week, 26-week, or 52-week. He writes them on quarters to coincide with the teaching cycles in churches, which are basically quarter-oriented. He lacks three studies being finished with his total commitment to God of every book. He has those three outlined, but doesn't have them written. He's 2 years from reaching that goal and fulfilling his commitment to God. Now, I'm going to give you a shocker. The guy, not using the internet for a long time, has sold 1 million copies, printed copies, of his Bible studies. What is that a testament to? 1 million copies. It is also available on the internet through word search and soon to be Lifeway. And they have no idea how many copies have been sold. He is not interested in any of this. He's not interested in the money. He made a deal with God as a young pastor that he would produce materials that a young pastor could use in his church, and that it would be effective in helping his people grow in Christ. 1 million copies. He does not care about the money. He doesn't know how much money. And he doesn't want to know how much money is involved. He forced a publisher who was going to try to sell his stuff for $300 a shot to make it available at $39, or they wouldn't be able to sell it. And they agreed. Again, I said he's not interested in the money. He is a real life testament to the importance of setting goals, getting priorities straight, and allocating his time to reach goals. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, I want you to attempt to write your life goal this morning. And I'm going to give you time. You start by praying, and then you put pencil on paper, writing down what you feel like God is leading you to write. And this is uncomfortable for you guys. I have been there, done that, and I did survive, okay? I'm going to summarize what your life goal might be, and I'll also read you mine. I wrote it over 20 years ago, and every once in a while I pull it out and try to refresh it, try to go over it again. What would you like have written on your tombstone? Life goal, what would you like having written on your tombstone? That's the essence of it. Now, let me read you mine. Don't try to copy it. You can't wear another man's armor. It just doesn't fit. But I'm going to give you an example because you guys are looking at me like deer in a headlight. So I'm going to give you my example. My life goal is to make a significant difference in the lives of those people that God allows me to come in contact with. It has been more flowery than that in the past, but that's the essence of it. I want to make a significant difference in the lives of those people that God brings me in contact with. In the marketplace, the guy that's sacking groceries for my wife, the people that I deal with in the newspaper business, not just the guys that are in my Bible study, not just the gals and guys that are in our church. I want to make a significant difference in the lives of those people that God brings me in contact with. Okay. Now, I want you to pray, and I want you to make a valiant attempt. And now, by the way, Satan will tell you, you don't need to do this. And he'll also tell you, you can't. So when you hear that whisper, it is not the Holy Spirit. It's coming from the other side. Make an attempt to write a life goal. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes. Then I'll read you the other goal levels that I think you ought to have.
Do you want us to write priorities and use the time as well?
We'll talk about it later. But you guys are going to have enough trouble writing a goal, okay? Okay. Okay, let's talk about it. Now, this may come as a great surprise to you, but I'm not a great big fan of fairy tales, okay? But Alice in Wonderland, there's a pivotal point in Alice in Wonderland that is sort of where some of us get sometimes. Alice and the hare reach a fork in the road, if I remember correctly. Which way are we going to go? If we don't know where we're going, any road will get us there. Why do you have to have a goal in life? Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there, which is not where God wants you to be. Last night they were using there's a scripture. You guys can quote it. I can't right now. I can't call it up.
Like an athlete.
I buffet my body.
Treating it roughly. Training it to do what it should do rather than what it wants. Otherwise, I fear after I've enlisted others to the race, I myself may be declared unfit in order to stand aside.
Excellent. That's what we're talking about. Give me a reference.
1 Corinthians 9:27 from the Living.
Yeah. It's also interesting out of the message if you've never had that experience. Let's talk about this. And I want to see if you guys are willing to jump out on the end of the plank. Any of you willing to read what you wrote for your goal? Do it.
Share what it takes to get me to where I am in my life journey and get others to do the same. A fellowship of misfits and what we can accomplish on the journey towards where we are going. Get others comfortable with who they are, honest about it, and encourage one another to share the journey and to help each other carry the baggage. Make them aware of the baggage. Baggage is necessary for the journey to be used, not hidden.
Very good. Okay. That is his life goal. Now, by the way, it can change. As you mature in Christ, your goals sometimes get twinked. But you've got to have one at no matter what stage you are in your Christian journey. You need a life goal. You need a goal. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
Never to hurt those I serve.
Very good.
To grow close. To grow as close to God as possible. To have joy. To share that closeness with others. To share that joy. Joy being Jesus over you.
Okay.
Know and love God with everything I am through His strength, developing multiplying disciples to fulfill the Great Commission.
You guys give me a thrill, okay? Somebody else. By the way, your deal about hurting people, I asked John Brock to pray for me. He and I have been friends a long time, to pray. And I said in the dining room, and I leaned over to him, I said, Brock, I'm getting ready to do a workshop. You pray I don't hurt anybody. That's the essence of what you just said.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I hope I didn't beat up on y'all. Okay, somebody, go ahead. Yes.
I'd like to share mine as a way of also asking a question, because I think considering whether or not my life goal should be something I do or it should be who I become. And I was just playing this idea of what I would want on my tombstone, and I thought I would like to be known as a man of the Spirit, like Stephen was. To be known that way. So I said to become a man full of the Spirit of God, walking with Christ each day, surrendered to His will. Because if I'm that kind of a man who I'm surrendered to God's will, I suspect that He will do through me things that I can't imagine. So what do you think of that?
You just answered your own question. Okay. I don't have to answer your question. I will, but you just answered it. If you take care of what you are, God will provide the opportunity for what you are to do. A man prepared to do what God wants him to do will not lack of an opportunity to use his God-given gift to glorify Him. There is ministry everywhere you look. By the way, you earn the right to be heard by the way you live your life. That is relationship evangelism. That is counseling. That is helping some sick, wounded brother or sister. Stay away from counseling women. That doesn't work very well because you guys always want to put your arm around them. And boy, that can get you knots on your head when you get home and your wife hears about it. Somebody else. Go ahead. You
live fearlessly for God, to be able to deny myself for others, be able to answer and share your good news with the people you choose.
Okay. Excellent. Who is the you choose?
God.
I got that. Okay. Yeah, we might capitalize the you, okay?
Okay. And to become the spiritual leader for my future family, in my church, and in my friend group.
That is worthy. Okay.
This is most likely going to change in a later stage of life, but for now it's to do my best in all I put my hands to, and to complete the work given to me the way the Lord commands.
Okay. Somebody else? Yeah, go ahead.
To know, love, and obey God in all areas of my life, and to share God's love by words and actions of those around me.
Okay. Excellent.
Be a spiritual leader of my town, an exemplary husband to my wife, a shining light to those in the darkness, and Christ-like friend to all.
Okay. Very good. Somebody else?
To use God's resources over which I have domain, to love men, influence them towards Christ, and teach them to use their gifts in the body of Christ to do the same.
Good. Okay. You notice I'm not editing or correcting anybody. They're your goals, not mine. If I set goals for you, they would be wrong. Okay, I like the discussion. I'm comfortable with you guys. Somebody else? Anybody else?
Experience the joy of my Lord's creation with Him as I stand for the truth and exemplify Christ in a loving way as I invest in my family and friends.
Great. All right, let's take this. We kind of run through it. Now, did anybody want to say anything that I didn't give an opportunity? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I've grown up in church, so I just said I want to continue walking with God in service. I'm mechanically inclined, and the older I get, the more I realize the T4 Central is pretty much the only thing. I want to grow in T4 Central in my life, and it's a priority.
Excellent.
And I'm still doing mechanical work. I'm still doing maintenance, but I'm not there yet, and I really don't. I look at some people at this conference that are good examples, but I don't know how that fixes my personality trait.
I'll give you another one. Your ministry is in the marketplace. Your ministry is in your shop because he's an undertaker. You touch people at a very critical time in their life. That's your ministry, from my point of view. Right? You can do it two ways, and you choose to do it God's way. I honor that. Now, I don't know him that well. He and I know enough about our backgrounds that we don't want to talk to anybody else about it. Anybody else want to share? I don't want to cut you off. We've got about 5 or 10 more minutes. This is working like I want to. My lifelong goal. Now, on that sheet, if you didn't get one, you want a life goal and you want a long-term goal. That would be 5 to 10 years. Reaching your goal should be in increments. I wrote this one, and sometimes I write strange stuff. If you ever read some stuff I write in the newspaper, you'd know it. But anyway, long-term goal, 5 to 10 years. Live that long. With an exclamation mark after it. The rest of it was, and that is really on the sheet. Okay, that's true. Finish with my torch still lit. We all finish the race. But do we finish with our torch still lit? Going back to the Olympics. What good is it for the guy to finish his leg of the Olympic relay if his torch is not still lit?
1 Kings 20:11. The king of Israel answered and said, "Tell him, let not him who puts on his armor boast like one who takes it off."
I hate to deal with you because you're older than I am.
In this process of getting old, keeping your torch lit
gets more difficult.
Gets more important year by year. And I simply listed that I wanted to go over that. I love that idea of keep your torch lit. And my goal is to worship Jesus Christ. Simply behind that is the first thing. Be kind to my wife. I've had three. I've got the very best one I ever have now. The good Lord has given me three good wives, and I was a horrible husband, and I lost two of them simply by divorce. I've got my third one, and we go to church with my second one. Now, needless to say, we're in a small farm community. The next thing I've got two.
I'm going to zip my mouth, and I'm not going to make a comment about you and those two other wives.
My two sons are by my second wife, and I do not want to get in the way of a good relation with them and their mother. Of course, she has land to let them farm, so I've got listed I want to be a fair landlord to my one son who's chose to be a farmer. And the process, I spent all my life learning business, buying land. And now then I'm trying to learn to be retired. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. I ask to do prayer simply to be appropriately retired and a landlord living life correctly.
I'll tell you what, when you get that and figure it out, call me, collect. I'll welcome that call. Okay, here's my midterm goal, 3 to 5 years. This was written at a time when I was with a group of guys that were really interesting. To be a part of a group of men who could be dropped in the jungle without Bible, book, track, or commentary, with no contact with the outside world. And in a week, we will have started a Bible study. How in the world do you do that? The Word of God in your heart, properly motivated to reach people. And you can do this anywhere. My short-term goal is to see, and it still is, to see a multiplication ministry in my community, in my sphere of influence. I would really like to have the time for you to write what you're going to do when you come out of here. But let me give it to you. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I think you may have it. Here's my one-year goal: to recharge my spiritual batteries and to restart my ministry. And the other one I said, and this was 5 years ago, and for my 17-year-old grandson who has just come to live with us, to have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, my first year priorities were energize my quiet time, renew my memorization of the Scriptures, to read one challenging book cover to cover. I have a tendency to read two paragraphs and then go to the next one because the one I'm reading got too convicting and I won't have to face the choices. And then the other one is an ongoing problem with me, lose 20 pounds. Now, what kind of short-term goal is that? Okay, now let me give you a little hint about what you're going to do coming out of this conference. I think Satan sometimes sends us a whole flood of ideas just to confuse us. God normally will give us one good idea at a time. Before you leave this conference as we are doing today, you pick out one, two, or three things that out of this conference that you want to apply to your life. You can do it on this workshop. If there's something that has been said in here that really rang your bell, put a star beside it. Pick something that you're going to apply to your life starting now. Because once you get in that car to leave here, all of a sudden, all of the cares of the world descend upon you. And all of a sudden, you have been diverted. Remember, early on, I wrote that Gene said that the devil was the master of deception. And sometimes we give Satan too much credit, but in this case, I don't think you can give him enough. The enemy of the best is always the good. And I cannot determine for you what your goals ought to be. You've got 3 minutes to write what you're going to do. Really, I'd like to take 3 minutes and write down one thing out of this workshop that you want to apply to your life that you think is important. If you don't have any, you tell Peter Axup at the desk to cut my salary because I didn't deliver. Yes? Yeah, Mike.
You know, spiritual legacy is certainly prime, as with everyone that's mentioned it has. What's your thoughts on financial goals as we finish our life well? Dean had a lot to say about it, and I'm sure that he counseled you some. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We got into a deal yesterday in his workshop, and I asked him the question. He talked about greed. I asked him to define greed. That was nasty on me. Mean-spirited. Yeah, mean-spirited. I asked him to define greed. You have to find the balance between making a profit and being greedy.
But as a financial goal, I mean, to finish your life well and to be, is there a goal there that you would have, leaving your family, thinking for your family?
I think you need to ask and answer the question for yourself. How much do I need?
Okay.
I've got a friend that says he never has enough land. He only wants that that joins him. Okay. And I understand that. You do too. What is enough money?
What you have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll answer your question. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to answer your question, okay? The answer to that question is Noreen and I want to accumulate enough money that we can live comfortably and share it with others who have need. She and I have talked about that. It's very difficult to do because there's always a washing machine or there's something else. But we would like to accumulate enough money that we could put it into ministry and into people without ever having anybody blow the bugle or raise their hand in praising us. I prefer to do that anonymously. Okay. Now, he asked me a personal question. I know him, and he knew he was nailing me. And he got help from Ron back in the back. But I don't mind that. That's okay. I'll tell you what. If your goal is money, there will never be enough. Never enough. I'll tell you one other thing that I have learned in life. I have had more friends ruined by too much money than not enough. Money has a tendency to corrupt. And it is much more difficult to use your money wisely than about any other thing that you can undertake as a Christian. But I do think that you ought to keep enough of it to keep your family healthy and intact. By the way, my wife and I are trying to pass on part of this to a couple of guys, boys, okay, sons. They're old men now. One of them had a stent put in 2 weeks ago.
I just want to interject one thing. There's a lot of young guys in here. Y'all really need to concentrate on being debt-free. If you're in debt, you're enslaved. That's just the way it is. If you're in debt, you have to use God's money to pay interest, to pay things that you already have that you're paying for. If you're debt-free, you can take that money and invest it in the kingdom. You're not using it.
One point. That workshop is often given here. But you take care of the spiritual workshops first. Amen. And then you get off into the side issues of money management. I think goals and priorities and use of time is one of the core issues. And I don't disagree with what you just said. I agree wholeheartedly. I have done that workshop. I never could apply it, but I could do it. But you guys didn't come in here to hear me try to fake you out. I'm telling you the truth. But that's kind of where we are. I need to quit. I want to tell you how much I enjoy it. One special thing. You young guys really make me want to do better. Because I realize your life's ahead of it. Now that old toot back there, his life's behind him. Right? Yes, sir. Thank you. And I'm 76 years old. You get there, your goals get to shorten down. I appreciate y'all very much. Thank you. I hope you got something out of it.